confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Amen. Glory to the Father.
receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Same office. So we being many are one body in Christ,
and every one member is one of another. So far, we fix it up.
Who's the faith of our hearts?
grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme is Better Days Ahead, and it's based upon the Old Testament reading. And I would like to read once again the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So far, please be seated. I'm sure that many of us have gone through some bad days, perhaps some bad weeks. And then someone was able to convince us that there were better days ahead. The problems were still there. We still had to cope with them. But the outlook was so much better than it was before. In this morning's Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah was that someone for the faithful in Israel. Isaiah was able to speak of better days ahead. The faithful people in Isaiah's time really needed that message. Conditions in the church and the nation were in a mess. They mourned over what was happening all around them, and they were not just imagining these things, but these things were really true. You see, Israel as a nation had left God. Well, the people were still going to the temple, especially on certain occasions, but God accused them of trampling his courts. They were not coming to worship God. They saw no need for a Savior or even a God himself. They simply went through the motions of worship. But God saw blood on their hands, and it was the blood of their own people. The rich were robbing the poor, refusing to share their food with them, helping them with their home problems, and so on. They did not care for the people. They were turning down pleas from their own flesh and blood. Isaiah was pointing out that the children of Israel, sad to say, they actually had left the Lord. And what Isaiah had to say to the king Hezekiah was virtually unbelievable. He told them, the time will come when everything you own, everything you have stored up, will be carried off by the Babylonians. Nothing will be left. Even your own flesh and blood will be taken captive. The problem is that even the faithful believers in Israel knew that they would be taken away with the rest of the nation. They believed the words of Isaiah. No wonder they mourned. They were brokenhearted. They were frightened. But Isaiah was also able to tell the faithful that there would be better days ahead. A Savior, their Messiah, would come. And this Savior would preach the good news of salvation, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captive, and release for the prisoners. The faithful people of Israel knew much about their Messiah, and that gave them hope. That gave them confidence in God. Moses had already told them the Lord would forgive their wickedness, and their sins too would all be forgiven. But Isaiah was privileged to tell them a little bit more than what Moses had said. Isaiah talked about Christ, the Christ child, that would be born for them, whose name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He told them that this child would be born of a virgin. He described Christ's suffering for the sins of the people. He was able to tell them that the days would soon come when they all would be filled with happiness and joy. The faithful believed the promises. The promises was enough for them. But Isaiah had more to say. He told them that when the Messiah came, it would be a day of vengeance. He would denounce Israel for its unbelief. The wicked and the unrighteous who refused to return to God, they would all be punished. God would hear the cry of the faithful. They would be avenged, if you will, for all the evil done to them by their own flesh and blood. But more important, the faithful would flourish again. God would add Gentiles to their number. And that was God's promise to them. As Isaiah had promised, God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And when Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, he came to Nazareth, the city in which he grew up, and there he was invited to speak in the synagogue. He took the book of Isaiah, turned to the portion that is part of today's Old Testament reading, and read it to the people. And then he closed the book and sat down. And with all eyes fastened on him, Jesus said, "Today this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears." But Jesus knew that in their hearts they did not believe that that this man from their own city was indeed the promised Messiah. When Jesus confronted them with this, the people were filled with anger and were told that the people put him out of the city. They led him to a hill and they would have thrown him down. But Jesus walked right through that crowd and he went on his way. You see, Israel in the days of Christ was no better than it had been in the days of Isaiah. Christ came unto his own, but we're told his own received him not. And what sorrow there was in Christ's heart when he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how often I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not." But what a joy for Christ that Isaiah's prophets about the Gentiles coming to Jesus came true. People would come from all nations, joining the faithful, building up the church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' day, there were only a few to begin with: the wise men, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, Gentiles who lived in Galilee. But most of the apostles lived to see the day when many Gentiles joined that church. Well, the apostle Paul assured us that what was written back then was also written for us today. The comforting words of Isaiah were written for us and for all who will believe in Christ to the end of time. Yes, as Christians of today, we are brokenhearted at the thoughts that so many in our day do not believe in Christ, the only Savior of the world. Conditions seem to be about as bad as they were in the days of Isaiah. The devil seemed to be working harder than ever to make people comfortable in their sins. Crime and vice are all around us. People have forsaken God. It happened in the days of Isaiah. It happened in the days of Christ. It's happening today to many. If there are times when we become captive to our own temptations, remember that Christ can set us free. Yes, we still can praise His glorious name. We have more blessings than we can really count. May God continue to bless us as He has in the past, and that our future is good as long as we are in that faith. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's a prayer that you would like to extend personally to God's throne of grace. Let's take a moment for that one. We approach your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who call us unto thee all that labor, we pray that you will give us the experience of your love, the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will take part in this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take out from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness. Give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase the love and hope, and after this life, grant a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Given in death for the remission of your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood. Take a drink.
Strength and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. take your drink. This is the trip. Thank you.
Thank you. And the sign-up sheets are there both for Sundays through March and Lent. And we appreciate it if anyone could sign up. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we have to agree with you.
Next Sunday, Emmanuel has a quick council meeting after church.
Okay, next Sunday.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, let's have a word of prayer for the food that we're about to receive. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to first of all thank you for allowing us to gather this morning to hear your word and to receive your holy sacrament. We ask now that you bless the food that we're about to receive, so that as your sacrament strengthens our faith, so the food will strengthen our body. And finally, we ask that it is your will, protect each and every one of us as we return to our homes at the end of this day. We approach your throne of grace in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.